This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What's up, nerds? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Is that an ESPN smart speaker? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. 1-888-729-3776. Soon, with the only four letters I'll be able to use in the language, ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by ESPN, but also by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I remember when I was a kid first hearing about ESPN. I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I was at my grandmother's house, actually. And I'm like, what? They got a channel that's just sports all the time? I thought it was too good to be true. And back then, it was all these weird sports. They didn't have the rights for stuff, and it was still like, I'll watch it for SportsCenter, for the sports highlights. There was no NFL package back then. No NFL games on ESPN back then. It was still the best thing ever. Anyway, first, it's time for Straight Talk Wireless, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You realize that's what it says. I see. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, Raj. Don't be ridiculous. The other way would just be silly. Look, a lot of people are talking about the terrible call, and it was a terrible call. I know, who has a lot of sympathy for Bill Belichick, all the calls he's gotten through the years. It seems like every close call goes to the Patriots, but this was not a close call. It was obvious it was a turnover. Mahomes was not down when the ball came out, but they called him down when the ball came out. It wasn't reviewable, and that's that. And it's like, at the time, it's a close game, and it changed the whole complexion of the game. The Chiefs won by 16 points. They didn't win by a field goal. They won by more than two touchdowns. It changed the whole complexion of the game. Whatever. It didn't decide the outcome of the game. Now, Belichick is great against everyone, but including Mahomes, and that defense gave Mahomes problems. Although the Chiefs' defense was also quite good. Let's face it, in the Super Bowl too, the Chiefs' defense kept them right there in the Super Bowl, kept the Niners right there, and gave Mahomes a chance to catch up. So actually, the Kansas City defense played well. Not only when they won the Super Bowl, but so far this year, especially when it mattered. But I want to tell you something else. Yes, it seemed like the whole complexion of the game was changed when the refs blew that call. But again, the Chiefs won by two touchdowns. And on First Take today, we were talking about, do the Chiefs look vulnerable? Does Kansas City look vulnerable? I want people to understand. I'm taking Kansas City as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Not the odds-on favorites. I'm not giving them better odds than anyone. I'm giving them better odds than everyone. Everyone else put together, I think, is under a 50-50 proposition to win the Super Bowl because Kansas City exists. I make them not the odds-on favorite, the favorites against the entire field. So let's talk about Kansas City being in trouble. They were in trouble against the Patriots last night, right? They won by more than two touchdowns. Who else were they in trouble against? Because they beat the Ravens by two touchdowns. Were they in trouble week one against the Texans? Maybe not, but they were in trouble against the Chargers, right? They were in trouble against the Chargers, but they're undefeated. And, those kind of games, against the Patriots, against the Chargers, let's go back to last year. They were in trouble in their first playoff game last year. They showed vulnerability in their first playoff game last year against the Texans. The Texans, led by Deshaun Watson, were coming off a tight win against the Bills, who were an ascending team with an ascending quarterback and a real tough defense. The Texans, coming off that win, jumped out to a 21-0 first quarter lead against the vulnerable Chiefs. Chiefs beat them by 20 points, put 51 up on them. And the next week, it was the Titans. Oh, those Titans. They beat the Patriots. They were rolling, and Derrick Henry was rolling. And the Titans jumped out to a 10-point lead first quarter. I guess the Chiefs were vulnerable, and the Chiefs came back and beat them. And then in the Super Bowl, the Niners had a 10-point fourth quarter lead. Mahomes came back and beat him. Called his own number. Dropped back 15 steps. Was it 13, 14, 15-step drop? And threw the ball 60 yards. Yeah, they have a lot of vulnerabilities, the Chiefs. They were so vulnerable that they won the Super Bowl last year, and they look like they did last year this year so far. Good luck. But it is true that Bill Belichick has beaten Patrick Mahomes a couple times. And maybe if he had Cam Newton yesterday, he'd have made Kansas City look even more vulnerable. What about that Patriots defense made it difficult for you, Patrick?
They have a lot of good veteran players. I think that's the first thing. When you have good players and you do different schemes and you're able to do that, you usually are a pretty good defense. And then as for us, I feel like especially me, I didn't execute at a high enough level when you're playing against a defense like that if you want to go out there and have success.
Now, Patrick Mahomes, the first time he was a starter in the NFL, was the easy MVP choice with 50 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. First time he touches the ball, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And then last year, his touchdown-interception ratio got even better. What is it, 26-4 or something like that? But the numbers weren't as gaudy, and he wins Super Bowl MVP. MVP, Super Bowl MVP. But this year so far, even though they're 4-0, even though they have a dominant win over Baltimore, people still have as a top team, even though they just beat the Patriots, right? Like, well, they didn't have Cam Newton. Beating a Bill Belichick team isn't easy. Just to let you know, without Tom Brady, before Cam Newton, Bill Belichick won more than twice as much as he lost with Matt Castle, Jimmy G, and Brissett. Won more than twice as much as he lost. So even if he doesn't have his starting quarterback in Cam Newton, Belichick's not easy to beat. Beat him by more than two touchdowns. Beat the Ravens by two touchdowns. Oh, by the way, if Tom Brady gets credit for leading this miraculous comeback against the Chargers, does Mahomes get credit for beating the Chargers too? It seems like he's had an MVP caliber year, but after yesterday, I don't think that most people are thinking about Mahomes for MVP. I think they're thinking about Aaron Rodgers for MVP. Maybe not like they're thinking about Russell Wilson, but I think they should be. Rodgers threw for 327 yards and four touchdowns in a two-touchdown win over the Falcons. Now, I know it's the Falcons, and they'll figure out ways to collapse, but they didn't have to collapse against Rodgers. And, yeah, their defense is whatever. Rodgers didn't have anyone to throw to yesterday, and he couldn't miss. He now has 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions on the year. For a QBR at the quarter pole through four games, that is the highest in the history of tracking QBR. So I'm not saying in NFL history, we don't know, but it goes back to 2006. They have QBR stats on everyone starting in 2006 on. And in those 14 years, this is the highest QBR compiled through four games by Aaron Rodgers. Again, no first-round picks to throw to. No Devontae Adams. The highest QBR ever through four games. You know who's two and three on the list? ESPN stats and info. Look, sometimes, and ESPN's guilty of this, everyone is. Sometimes you can get swamped with stats. And Nate Silver of 538.com has a book, came out, I don't know, maybe going back 5 or 10 years already, called The Signal and the Noise. Meaning the noise is all these stats that are thrown at you. How do you find the signal from the noise, meaning the relevant story from all the stats that are you're constantly inundated with nowadays? Well, here's one I think that shows some signal. Here's something that I think is relevant. The second and third place, Aaron Rodgers, right now through four games, highest QBR ever, as since 2006, since they in the history of tracking QBR, the highest one through four games. Second and third on the list are Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Not only did they each win MVP that year, but they each set the touchdown record that year. Now, if it doesn't seem like Rodgers is on pace for that, I think he's thrown 12. It's 48 if it doesn't tick up. That's within spitting distance. I don't, like, I know that Russell Wilson, see, because you start getting the story. Everyone says the narrative. Okay, fine, the narrative starts to be about Russell Wilson, how he's never received an MVP, first place vote, and all this kind of stuff. And the truth about Russell Wilson is every year the MVP names change, but every single year his is among the candidates. The candidates change every year. One year Brady and Rodgers are in it, the next year they're not. Then Cam Newton, the next year he's not. Right? Like every year there are different names over the last, say, 5-6 years in the MVP conversation. But there's one name that always belongs there. By the way, Drew Brees, sometimes there, sometimes not. Tom Brady, Cam Newton, because he won the MVP that year, sometimes there, sometimes not. But the one name that's always there is Russell Wilson. And since he's never won it, there's this strong sense that he's looks like he's really peaking at this point. Like he's taken it even to another level. He's on a Super Bowl contender. When they made that Jamal Adams trade, they looked like Super Bowl contenders. I picked them to come out of the NFC, although the defense doesn't look good enough to me at the moment. But, okay, Russell Wilson's amazing and 16 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and they're undefeated, and they've beaten the Patriots, right, with Cam Newton. And that's true. They also, like, beat up on Dallas and that Dallas secondary. It's not like they have the toughest schedule. But Russell Wilson's been great, and there's, like, a kind of natural inclination to give a guy an MVP who you could make the argument for in any given season, and once again, this season, it may be the best argument. But actually, look, you could say, here are his yards per attempt, here are his touchdowns. It's like when people say, hey, this guy's leading the league in points, rebounds, and assists, or like here, he's ahead of that guy in points, rebounds, and assists. Or you have a guy like Miguel Cabrera on the Tigers, originally from the Marlins, big slugger, won the Triple Crown. Well, how can anyone be better than that? Home runs, RBIs, and batting average. Boy, he won the Triple Crown. He's the best. Because those are mainstream stats, but they're not necessarily the most important ones just because they're the ones you're used to. QBR takes everything into account. Not that it's perfect. There's nothing perfect. But when you take all those stats into account, Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson right now. And the eyeball test, to tell you the truth, tells me Aaron Rodgers is a little better than Russell Wilson. I wouldn't protest if Russell Wilson, if the MVP was given out after 4 weeks and you gave it to Russell Wilson, I wouldn't protest. But if you ask me my honest opinion, I know Rodgers has won one and Russell Wilson hasn't. And I know this kind of fairness kind of tells you, wait a minute. If this dude is there every year, one of these years could he get it? But that's separate than saying, who do you actually believe is the MVP so far? Aaron Rodgers. I think he's having the best season. I mean, I really believe the MVP is always Mahomes, to tell you the truth. But, you know, you asked me who I want on my team, Mahomes. But I've always said the guy he replaced as the best I've ever seen is Aaron Rodgers. And I thought the best of Rodgers was over, but I don't think it is. I think Rodgers is as good as he's ever been. So now the question becomes, was there recency bias with Patrick Mahomes? Or is he really better than Rodgers? We'll find out right now because I don't know that Rodgers has ever been better than this. Who do you like for MVP right now? Let me rephrase that. Who do you like for MVP right now? 888-SAY-ESPN. Right now I go Rodgers, Mahomes. Sorry, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Freudian slip. I would take him first. That was straight talk. Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I like doing those straight talk reads later in the show because what a deal they got going. It's really unreal. Half the price and no contracts and all that. Boy, if I was a working man, I would do that. Luckily, I don't actually work for a living and I'm overpaid, so I don't even have to pay attention to things like that. What a racket this is. Anyone who's like, boy, those guys are so lucky. They get to talk about sports and you know, you get paid well and all that stuff, and your job is literally, it's like, honey, I'm sorry, I have to watch the football game. I got to watch it. You're playing fantasy football. I know, but this helps me prep. All that's true. And if you feel like, hey, I could do that too, you're probably right. You probably could if you're really into sports. the ones who are on TV are just lucky that they happened to funnel their career that way, and you wind up on TV talking about it, or the radio in this case.
You know another great thing with that, Max, with
What's
this
that?
Job? You know, magically, like before the Raiders ever had a team in Vegas, you know how many damn NFL teams I didn't have to go away to see in Vegas?
Yeah,
lots
that's right. That's right. That's right. There is nothing. I mean, there's not much better than going to Vegas and watching games at the sports book. Let's be honest.
That's where they want us to watch, babe. I gotta go. I mean, that's where we
gotta do it.
Gotta go.
I know. I said we were gonna do this, this, and this, but you know what? The truth of the matter is, we got like right now, we got Major League Baseball playoffs, NBA finals, and NFL regular season all at once. Like yesterday, for example, the day before, tonight. We don't have NFL tonight, but we're coming off a game. Got to get your DraftKings lineups in. Yeah. 888-SAY-ESPN. Who's the MVP right now in the NFL? I know the story is Russell Wilson. I think it's Aaron Rodgers. And here's the scary thing about Rodgers. He was learning a new system last year, and he game managed. It's hard to tell, as I was talking about this a little bit yesterday, and I talked about it a little bit on the air on First Take today. It's hard to tell sometimes with great athletes who can do things that others can't. As they age, especially in a game that's so interrelated, where your success is so dependent upon the team and the coaching, as football, it's hard to tell who's aging how. So, for example, Rodgers last year, Rodgers doesn't have to be technically perfect because he has so much talent, he can get away with stuff. So much arm talent. And it reminds me of, like, in boxing, Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins. They fought when they were young, and Hopkins was technically better, but Roy Jones was a talent from another planet. He was an extraterrestrial talent. And so he beat Hopkins easily. He did it with one hand. Bernard Hopkins, one hand. But when they rematched when they were old men, Hopkins, who didn't have the talent to fall back on that Roy did, so had to learn the technique, classic technique, perfectly. He couldn't build a style around some enormous physical advantage. He had to learn technique. Well, that ages well. You would think, well, if you have more athletic ability, like in baseball, if you have more athletic ability, you'll tend to age better. For example, if you start out as a shortstop with raw hitting ability and defense, you can wind up 20 years later as a DH or a first baseman who now has learned the strike zone, gotten bigger and stronger, hits home runs, draws walks, is more of a guess hitter, and they keep you in the lineup. That guy can have a long career. If you get to the league as a big, lumbering first baseman without a lot of defensive value and what you're relying on already is strength and strike zone judgment, what are you going to evolve into? So you'll tend to have a shorter career. But in other sports, it works a little differently. So I mentioned boxing. If you rely on your athletic ability and you don't have to develop that perfect technique, you're not going to age as well. I talked about the cliff with Tom Brady, but you fall off a cliff. But what about football? How does that work? I wondered with Aaron Rodgers last year. Maybe age is caught up to him because it's imperceptible at first. Like you lose a quarter step. You lose a little something off your fastball. And it looks to the naked eye like you're more or less the same guy, but that little extra microsecond makes a difference at a certain level. So I wondered about Rodgers. Was that him? Or was it a new system or a combination of both? I'm willing to say right now it's just a new system. He was asked to do something he hadn't been asked to do yet, game manage. He bought in and did it, won 13 games in a playoff game against Seattle. Now he's more used to it, and now he can improvise within that system a little bit more. He can do his thing a little more. And we see the physical talent still there. That's scary. Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Am I right about that? Or is Russell Wilson still the MVP? Like, Russell Wilson has such touch. He's like a dude with, like, a floater in the lane, the way he can, you know, like a guy who could shoot over people like that in the NBA, the way he floats those passes to his receivers. he has great touch, but he doesn't have the same kind of arm. Like, I know sometimes it's good to have air under the ball, but sometimes it doesn't look intentional to me. And it looks like Rodgers can do that and can throw it in a way that Russell Wilson can't. Then again, although Rodgers can really run, Russell Wilson runs better. Who's the MVP right now? By the way, I've been all over Carson Wentz's struggles. Up next, someone that's still defending Carson Wentz. Usually that's just the opposing team that defends Carson Wentz and does it very well. Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers were making moves. Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
He played inspired. He led the football team tonight for the win.
Wentz back again. He steps up. He is floating it, and it is caught by Fulgham, who's in for a touchdown, I believe. Yes! He pumps. It's intercepted! It's intercepted! Down the far sideline, and in for an Eagles touchdown. It is Singleton!
We got a long season ahead of us. You know, only the first quarter of the season is done, and, you know, we got a long road ahead.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's the MVP right now, Rodgers or Russell Wilson? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan Orlovsky joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dan, are you there?
What's up, Max? I'm here, brother. How are you?
Good, good. I've been trying to get you on this show. First, we tried to get you on a Monday. Apparently, that's the worst day. Then a Friday, that's your second worst day. I guess Tuesday is your fifth worst day, right? So here you are.
Well, they work me almost as much as they work you, man.
That's right. Well, for good reason. Dan Orlovsky breaks down. Look, Dan, I'm not saying you're some NFL genius. This is what I'm saying. Some people are excellent expositors of ideas and can break down, are very good teachers, you know? Teddy Atlas talks about this, the famed boxing trainer and broadcaster on ESPN, and a friend of mine going back decades at this point, how Cus D'Amato told him, who trained Mike Tyson, that he was a born teacher, right? Teddy was a good amateur fighter with a bad back. But some people are just very good teachers. They have a way of explaining things to people simply and in a digestible way. And I find that the way you break down tape especially is it teaches me something every time I watch it, which is why I'm so perplexed by your Carson Wentz love, Dan. Where does it come from?
First of all, thank you for those kind words. You know, I think my Carson Wentz love has to do with I married a girl from Philadelphia who's true and true as a Philly girl. And then also I think that, you know, part of the reason why I love getting into this profession and doing what I do, Max, is, you know, I think that we simplify things a lot with quarterbacks. If the team's really good, we think the quarterback's great, and it's usually Tom Brady. And if the team's really bad, we think the quarterback sucks, and it's everybody but Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And so I try to go into things way deeper than that and try to give love on guys that don't get enough love and try to explain why guys aren't performing up to their expectations more than he sucks.
Well, a couple things. Number one, if your wife is from Philly, she should be mad at Carson Wentz right now like a good Philly sports fan. I mean, I thought that was amazing when the Philly fans were booing. They had the virtual Philly fans booing because that was realistic. And secondly, you got into this business to break down quarterback play. You know why I got into this business, Dan? I didn't want to work
why?
For a living. I didn't want to work for a living. Who wants a job? This is amazing. Instead of working for a living, I'm arguing with you about quarterback play. Who the hell am I to argue with you about quarterback play? This is amazing. All right. But let's do it nonetheless. I have the nerve to do it anyway. Dan, Carson Wentz resembled a mid-level starting quarterback when he was throwing on the move. Like, he had that Fulgham pass was a thing of beauty. It was perfect. He had maybe three or four other quality throws, and I thought he was awful. Like, otherwise, like, Dan, I'm not just saying this now. I saw this going back to last year, which is why I bring it up. Bad decision making, bad mechanics, it seems to me. And he's beating occasionally bad teams by the skin of his teeth. Why should I think he's anything more than a mid-level starting quarterback right now?
Yeah, I'd say two or three reasons why. First of all, it's really difficult for me to sit here and hear you say mid-level starting quarterback when he's done two things historically that no other quarterback has done. Like, those two things cannot be said in the same sentence. You can't have the second greatest second season or sophomore season as a quarterback in the history of the NFL behind Dan Marino and say mid-level starting quarterback.
That's no, I agree. I wouldn't say it back then, Dan. I'm saying it now. I agree. That's why I'm perplexed.
Okay, and then you can't say last year when he throws for 4,000 yards.
Yeah, come on.
And no, he throws for 4,000 yards and doesn't have a single receiver go over 500 yards. That's never been done. You can't say that player is mid-level starting quarterback. You can't go back, because I know you like to go back to last year, Max. You can't go back to last year and point to there's only two quarterbacks that went to the playoffs last year that did not have a 1,000-yard receiver, nor did they have a 1,000-yard back, nor did they have a top 10 defense. Only two quarterbacks in the NFL went to the playoffs with that, Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, let's talk about that.
You can't say last year, but
yes,
also
I can.
Mid-level.
Hold on. Dan, listen, I understand how this business works. Believe me. I wrote the rules back in the day on clay tablets how this business works. It's selective information you're putting out for the argument. He only one of two quarterbacks because he was in the worst division of all time last year. Come on. And by the way, Miles Sanders emerged as an excellent back. And otherwise he spread it around and got 4,000 yards with two great tight ends. Dan, every time all those like never been done before stuff is going to happen in a passing era. So he didn't have top receivers, so he spread it around, got 4,000 yards. Big deal.
I'm giving you facts, though. Is this selective information? Two quarterbacks went to the playoffs last year. No top 10 defense, no 1,000-yard back, and no 1,000-yard receiver. Like, that is not selective. That is factual.
Yes, it's factual. Selective facts. Dan, look. How many quality throws did Wentz have? Did Wentz have on Sunday? How many quality throws did Wentz have on Sunday?
Four, five.
Right, that's what I say. Okay, good. I'm glad that my eyes aren't deceiving me because I know you know what you're looking at. Four or five quality throws. And by the way, he does not look pre-ACL. Dan, I was with you on Wentz. I thought Wentz was amazing his second season. But he has regressed to my eyes shockingly. Now, let's start with the ACL. I think that Wentz lumbers now. He does not run with the same kind of bounce. Nevertheless, and he used to really be good sliding around in the pocket and using his movement and keeping the eyes down the field and all that stuff. Nevertheless, I think he needs to move. They need to put him on the move because that's where you get your quality out of him. You're giving him $120 million or whatever it is. You got to get at least mid-level quarterback play out of this guy. So you got to take the risk and move him around. Am I wrong?
No, I totally agree. I don't think he's lumbering. But, like, here's the thing. Max, there's really two kinds of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. There's thinkers and there's reactors. You got to figure out which one your quarterback is and then take the reins off.
What's Wentz?
And Carson is he's a reactor. He's
right.
Not a thinker. You don't want him to sit in the pocket and try to be this technician where he's picking apart defenses. And, you know, Drew Brees is a thinker. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a thinker. Where Carson, I agree with you. They need to take the reins off. And I think the reality has to be this, Max. The organization's going to have to look at themselves and then look in the mirror and say, almost like Rocky, and I don't mean this literally, but if he dies, he dies. Like, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But the only way we can allow him to be
I agree with that. But, Dan, listen.
You can't be scared about him getting hurt.
Listen, the reason they draft why am I forgetting the Alabama
quarterback?
Jalen Hurts. This is the second time I've done that in 2 days. The reason they draft Jalen Hurts in the second round is because they were already thinking this about Wentz. And Dan, you could say, well, it's for depth at quarterback because Carson Wentz is injury prone, but more injury prone if you plan on moving him around. And really, if Jalen Hurts wasn't fumbling every time he took the field, this dude would all, there'd be a quarterback controversy. Dan, that was the best Carson Wentz looked in a long time on Sunday. And he was okay. He had like an 81 passer rating, right? Like, he was only okay. It's shocking to me. What's going on?
But long time for you is like January. Okay, so yes, it's the best he's looked since January, so 9 months.
I disagree. I don't think January. I think last year at the end of the year when you were so high on him, I thought it was the same thing. Amazing throw followed by bad throw, bad idea, bad execution. A third down, fourth quarter fumble or interception against the worst teams anyone's ever seen. You and I will never agree on this. Do you think it's
correct.
Possible for him to recapture his form from his second season, or is that ship sailed?
That's a great question. My answer with that is always going to lean towards yes, because that was a great season. I mean, that was a great year. And I always say be very careful doubting greatness. I'm not saying he's great, but that was greatness. And so I always lean towards yes. You know, I think that I hammer this point home with you, Max, and you know this, and I do it for a lot of quarterbacks. Everything's got to be in context of what's around them. And right now they're hurting around him as well. So people sleep on that year's team, Max. That was the number one rushing attack in the NFL. And Zach Ertz was 3 years younger, and the receiving core was very solid, like very solid. So, like, if you gave him the number one rushing attack and a young Alshon Jeffrey, big body receiver, and a productive
got him his old quarterback coach back
with speed, yes, then he could regain that. But that's also context matters.
Man, I remember Steve Stone when I was a kid, pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles, 1980, won 25 games. Mark Fidrick before him in Detroit. Used to talk to the ball, won like 19 games, took the world by storm. They each had one great year in their career, you know, and I hope that's not the case for, well, I hope that's not the case for Wentz, but listen, you and I are going to have to figure out something else to argue about. Are you sick of arguing with me about Wentz? Because I think it might be getting a little played already. The great Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen, NFL Live coming up at 4 p.m., got a great football crew over there. I suggest you check them out. In fact, Dan tweeted something minutes ago before he came on this show, talking about all the takes he's going to have on his NFL show, including how great the Patriots looked. He thinks that the Chiefs look much better in certain respects than are given credit for this morning. Who's the MVP? I say Aaron Rodgers. Axe Max, phone calls edition is next. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Axe Max is next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation. There's no even the in front of it. It's just Max Kellerman Nation. I have my own nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed / call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. And so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
Axe. Max.
All right, so this is the phone call version, edition of Axe Max. John in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go.
So Max, I want to agree with you. I think for MVP, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers. He is the most valuable player. If you take him off his team, I think his team goes to below 500 team.
Yeah.
As good as Russell Wilson is and puts up the stats and the numbers, he's got other players on that team with him. Davante Adams is always missing games. He missed, I think it was like 4 or 5 games last year.
Yeah, listen, to me, you don't have to down, I'm not saying you're trying to down, but you don't have to like down Russell Wilson, and I think it is close. By the way, news from Max Kellerman Nation. John just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I do think it is close. Here's the difference for me. Number one, Aaron Rodgers has a higher QBR, right? And again, through four games, highest ever tracked. They've been tracking since 2006. Second and third highest per ESPN stats and info were Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Both not only won MVP that year, but set the touchdown record that year. Right now, Aaron Rodgers, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. Russell Wilson, 16 touchdowns, two interceptions. Nevertheless, Aaron Rodgers, they count that all in, and QBR is higher. So that's kind of verifiable, right? He's statistically, according to the most sophisticated quick metric that we have or that is available to the public, Rodgers a little better. But I think Russell Wilson's fourth overall. But my eyeball test, like at this level, it comes down to the eyeball test. You see, it's not like Major League Baseball where you really have to do the math, because if you haven't seen two players play, like every single game, all the at-bats, which gets a lot, it's like, how do you keep track of it all? But not only that, no one's seen 700 plate appearances from two different players. So how do you know who's better? You need the math. You need the stats. But in the case of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, we've all seen all the plays, right? Or most of them, at least. So it comes down to, who do you think's been more impressive? I think Aaron Rodgers has been a little bit better. Terry in Anaheim, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max?
Go, Terry.
Good to hear from you. I just want to say, you know, quarterback-driven lead, I would say Aaron Rodgers, but I think a player – can a defensive player win an MVP? Is that possible?
It's hard. I mean, Aaron Donald a couple of years ago, who do you have in mind? You know, he wanted to talk about Myles Garrett, huh? Myles Garrett's have – you know, he's strip sacks and everything, very valuable. I wouldn't say, like, for a defensive player to be MVP, you got to be LT in his prime, or J.J. Watt, or Aaron Donald. You have to be, like, elite. Oh, my God, it's the best thing I've ever seen. Deion Sanders. Tough for an MVP, for a defensive player to be MVP, especially in this quarterback era. All right, I'm going to get to a bunch more calls in this show, Raj, because I just had to go on and on with some theory instead of listening to the calls.
That's what it was designed for, the callers, and you hogged it up. Go ahead.
Well, I don't get enough screen time, apparently. Coming up, folks are saying the Pats and the Chiefs had the Chiefs in trouble. Have you been watching the Chiefs? NBA Finals Game 4.